Well, how's everybody doing today? You good? It's a beautiful day. Amen. All right, well, let's get started here. Recapping of last week, Pastor Murphy, thank you so much for taking the pulpit. It was great, and you weren't here. His message is on the website last week that he spoke, and he was kind of coming off the message that I spoke about, that we are the light to the world, the light of the world. And Pastor Murphy said, in order to be the light of the world, you got to be in the world. And so that's what Pastor Murphy preached on last week. I thought it was great. I'm so thankful to have him here when I can't make it to take the pulpit. Thank you, Mr. Murphy. He told us to not be afraid of the world, not be afraid of being contaminated by the world. When I spoke about letting our light shine, I had a big response to it. A lot of y'all said it was great and you loved it. But I thought it was so good what Mr. Murphy said is that, you know, that light is supposed to be shining in the world. It's good to shine here. It's good, but it's kind of like light on light, you know what I'm saying? You really start shining when you go out into the world. So we can't be afraid to be contaminated by the world. If your light's only shining here at church, well, you know, not great. You need to get it, it needs to be shining in the darkness. Amen? So Pastor Murphy taught us that about not having fear of being contaminated by the world. No fear of the future, he said. No fear of death. It came out of John 17 where Christ said to his disciples, he said, I'm not taking you out of the world. He said, I'm actually I want you in the world. And he said, but remember, you're not of the world any more than I am. That's wonderful teaching by Christ and Pastor Murphy. That was great. So God wants us in the world. And we need to remember that. That's where our light's going to shine the brightest. Today, like I said, I'm excited to be able to preach to you guys, or try to at least, on the Holy Spirit. It is all right. You know, I remember Charles Simpson saying that anybody that tries to tell you they completely understand the Holy Spirit, you shouldn't buy anything from them. And, you know, it's a daunting task. I'll tell y'all, I've been wanting to preach on the Holy Spirit for about a year now. And every time I get into it, I just get kind of overwhelmed trying to put this down into a sermon or two or three even. And it's like, let me just tell you about God. You know what I mean? The vastness of the Holy Spirit. The amazingness of the Holy Spirit. And how many attributes He brings to the table. You could literally preach for the rest of your life about who He is and what His impact on us is. And here's the thing, is that we fully don't understand it at all, even now. I don't care how long you've been a Christian, how long you've been following God, you still don't get it. And neither do I. I mean, it's just too big. It's too big. And at the same time, I just have felt really led to preach on the Holy Spirit. I feel like God said, I want you to lay a foundation about who the Holy Spirit is and His impact in our lives. Because how many of you know there's a huge misconception about who the Holy Spirit is? If you grab five different Christians, you could ask all five of them, they'd probably tell you five different things about what they think about Him, and they would all be different. And then if you go to the world and ask somebody who's completely lost, you're going to get another whole answer. I feel like Satan works overtime trying to malign the name of the Holy Spirit. He works hard to try to mock it. You can always tell what he's afraid of the most. When there's a obvious attack on it. I always think about that with fatherhood. He's always trying to tear father in your home. I realized one day that Satan has no father. So he doesn't want you to have a father. He doesn't want you to know the father. So he tries to tear father from their homes. But yeah, that's an obvious thing. I feel like that he maligns the name even more maybe than Jesus or God. The Holy Spirit is maligned and confusing sometimes, and a lot of misconceptions are there. And my goal and my hope is that we can get rid of a lot of those misconceptions by coming out of the Scriptures. Pastor Murphy taught us many years that in order to find out who God is, you don't want to start with your ideas about God, right? Because that's your idea about God. You want to start with God's idea about Himself, right? When you taught that, it was so revelatory to me. It was so good. Because how many of you know that, I don't know, so many things in my life pertaining to who God is in Scripture, or in church, I should say, have been not correct because I have listened to what somebody else told me they thought that they knew about God. And because I didn't read the scripture very much, I just went on it. Even people that I love would tell me things that were incorrect about God. I didn't find that out until I started reading the scripture. Same thing goes with the Holy Spirit. You have an idea, I have an idea about who He is, but that really doesn't matter, does it? What our idea is. We want to know what the Holy Spirit's idea is from him, about Himself via the Scriptures. So that's what my goal is. You got to go on a journey with me. I'm hoping to make this into two or three sermons about the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful for people like Bill Murphy and Jerry and Dean and Paul Mites and other men in my life that taught me well, I think, accurately about the Holy Spirit growing up. I've realized now that I'm 46, that not everybody gets that. Not everybody gets that. We were taught well about who the Holy Spirit is, I believe, biblically. And I want to give that back to you, if I can. So, let's get rid of some of the misconceptions. The Holy Spirit, the title of the sermon is The Holy Spirit is Everything. Can you say it with me? The Holy Spirit is everything. It's everything. And I want you to have it. He wants to live in you. He wants to help you. If you don't feel, I'm going to just say it right up front, if you don't feel like you have the Holy Spirit in your life, then get Him. Get Him. It's a free gift. He will come to you. Ask Him to come live in you, and He will come to you. Okay, we're going to find that out in the Scriptures. But to live your life with God and resist the Holy Spirit is about the most foolish thing you could ever do in your life. He is the Counselor. He is the God. He is the actual essence of God, the mind of God, we're going to find out. And He lives in us and guides us through everything. You want peace? Get it from the Holy Spirit. You want joy? It comes from the Holy Spirit. You want hope? It comes from the Holy Spirit. You want certainty about your salvation? It comes from the Holy Spirit. All of it. Everything that you want and desire in God is going to be given to you by the Holy Spirit. So if you're never calling on His name, and if you're never receiving Him, come on. It's a gift. It's here, and He's in our midst now. Listen, you wouldn't know God if it weren't for the Holy Spirit. You would have never came to God if He didn't reveal it to you. It's Him. It's all Him. He's worthy of our praise today. I want you to feel it, not just hear it. I want you to receive it. I got to get going. I'm going to keep preaching here. But the first point that I want to make is the Holy Spirit is God. He is God. He is God like Jesus is God. He is God also. He is the Godhead three in one. There's three of them, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We baptized all those people last week, a few weeks ago, in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are one. All equal, all co-substantial, but they have different roles. Okay, but the Holy Spirit is God and is to be honored and respected in the same fashion. Amen? All right. They're three in one. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and with the Spirit of the Lord is there is freedom." The Lord is the Spirit. It's the same exact thing. He is God. In Genesis 1:2, He was with God from the beginning. The Scripture says that the earth was formless and void. And it said the Holy Spirit hovered above the waters, and God said, "Let there be light," and the Holy Spirit went out and did it. He does it. He does everything. He is the one who takes action for everything that God says or Jesus says. When God says, "Let there be light," the Spirit goes in and does it. When He says, "I'm going to heal Philip Murphy," if the Spirit comes down and heals him. He is the one who takes the action. He's the arm of God, so to speak. He created the cosmos. He is God. And He's been here from the very beginning. There is no separation between Him and God. In Acts 5:3-4, in the book of Acts, in the early church, the church was on fire for God, and they were full of the Holy Spirit, and they were selling all their possessions, and they were bringing them into the leadership with Peter, James, and John, and all those guys. So they were selling their homes and their lands, and they were bringing the possessions to give to them to be able to give to the people that were in need. So they all had stuff. And there was a couple named Ananias and Sapphira, and they were part of the church, and they sold a piece of land, the scripture said, and brought it before Peter. And they said, "We're giving you all the proceeds from the land that we sold." And Peter said, "All?" And this is it. I'm paraphrasing a little here, but that is what happened. They didn't give it all, but they said they did. First, it was Ananias by himself, so his wife wasn't here. Ananias said, "Yes, I gave it all." And he said, "Why would you lie to God?" He said, "You have not only lied to the Holy Spirit, he said, but you've lied to God, which is making them equal." And then he said, "And now you're going to die." And Ananias dropped dead. Scripture says the men came in and pulled him out of the room. And in walks Sapphira, his wife. And she said, "I'm going to guess," she said, "did you get the money my husband gave you? We gave you all the proceeds from the land." And Peter said, "Again, you have not lied only to the Holy Spirit, but you've lied to God." And she dropped dead. He said, "You'll be carried out by the same men that carried your husband out." I've always, that's a little bit of a struggle for me on that story, because I think they sold their land and gave a portion. I mean, do they deserve death? But it was the point, I think, that they were trying to set a precedence. You're dealing with the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "You can blaspheme me," he said, "but if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, it is an unforgivable sin."
That's an interesting scripture, and a confounding scripture. But it is nonetheless what he said.
He's teaching us about the seriousness of the Holy Spirit and what he can do in our lives. And also, there's a awe-inspiring thing about him. He is God. The Holy Spirit is God. And he is not to be trifled with. The second point that I want to make about the Holy Spirit is that he is our counselor. Let's turn to John 14, please. John 14, 15 through 31. And I'm not going to get through everything here today, so we will come back next week and talk some more about it, but I just want to come from the scripture. So we're going to read John 14, and then we're going to turn over to John 16. We're going to read them all at one time. First one, John 14, Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. What's happening right now is that the disciples are figuring out that Christ is leaving, dying, and they're sad because they love him. So a couple verses back in 14:1, or it says that Jesus is comforting his disciples, and this is part of it. And what he says, "If you love me, you'll obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. And on that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not the world?" And Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him, and we will make our home with him." What a great promise. "He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you." Listen to this. "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, will teach you all things." Say all things. All things.
and remind you of everything that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. And I don't give to you like the world does. Don't let your hearts be troubled, and don't be afraid. You heard me say I'm going away, and I'm coming back to you. If you loved me, you'd be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I've told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. And I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming, but he has no hold on me. But the world must learn that I love the Father, and I do exactly what my Father commands me. Come now, let us leave. He is our counselor. Let's read this other scripture while we're at it, just one page over. The work of the Holy Spirit. Christ is still talking to the disciples. And he says, now I'm going to him who sent me, and yet none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I've said these things, you're filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. And unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I come, if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin, and in righteousness and in judgment, in regard to sin because men do not believe in me, in regard to righteousness because I am going to the Father when you can see me no longer, and in regard to judgment because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Listen to this. He says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will only speak what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. And all that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. In a little while, you will see me no more. And after a little while, you will see me. Amen. The Holy Spirit is our counselor. He is the Spirit of truth. How many of you want to know the truth? Raise your hand. How many of you want to know the truth? I want to know the truth. I want to have it in me. I remember during COVID when you could not find the truth. Gosh, it was so hard. You felt like you couldn't find it on social media. You'd watch the news and you were like, that's not it. And anytime anybody came up and said anything different, it was just canceled immediately, wasn't it? And I realized during those times, I remember praying during those times and I said, Lord, I don't know what the truth is. I didn't know if we were going to all die when we walked outside of our house or not, you know. And I felt like the Holy Spirit, God said, seek the Holy Spirit. He will show you the truth. The Holy Spirit will show you the truth about those kind of things. He will show you the Spirit of truth for everything. He will tell you who you are. He will reveal who you are and what you were created for. He is the Spirit of all truth. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't know the truth. Hear me. The Holy Spirit has to be in you, indwelling, in order for you to know the truth of God. And he's free to have. But he is the Spirit of truth. He will teach us all things and remind us of everything that Christ has said. I love that Jesus said, I'm going to send him to you, but he says, I'm going to ask the Father to send him to you. There's just this clear submission to the Father. The Father sent the Son. The Son sent the Spirit. And they all turn around and just glorify this God that we serve. Nobody out of line. There's order in the Holy Spirit. I want to say that to you. There is order in the Holy Spirit. Here's a misconception that the Holy Spirit is chaotic. That he takes you over like a demon. It's not true. It's just not true. There's no precedence in the Scripture that it does that. Or somebody. The Scripture says that the Spirit is subject to the prophet. Meaning, when you want to speak in tongues, you can speak in tongues. And when you want to stop, you can stop. It does not control you. It is yours as a gift. It's almost like the Sabbath. It was made for you, you not for it. The Spirit was made for you. You can use it as you need it, but don't resist it.
But it's not chaotic. It will remind you of everything. Has that ever happened to you? When you've been talking to somebody in a conversation and you'll say something from the scriptures and it'll just hit you and you'll be like, where did that come from? Has that ever happened to you? I remember I've got many examples of this, but I remember specifically when I first thought that I heard the Holy Spirit in my first few months of being saved, I think, maybe within a year, I can't remember exactly. But I was talking to a brother, a friend. We were both just coming into our relationship with God. And I remember he was talking, and we were both kind of just marveling about God, but we almost kind of maybe have one foot in the kingdom and one in the world still, trying to just figure it all out, you know. And I remember he was up on a ladder. We were working together, and he was talking about moving to Florida. And I remember feeling this thought that said, if a man is about to fall into fire, snatch him back. And I was like, where did that come from? I have never, even to this day. Listen, when I was writing the sermon, I had to look that up. Because I was like, is that even a scripture still? That hit me while he was talking, and I didn't know what to do with it. It moved me in such a way that I wanted to tell him that he needed to be pulled back. But I didn't have the courage to do it. I was too new, and I didn't want to be made fun of, so I called my good friend Marty, and who had been a few steps ahead of me. And Marty came, and we took him to lunch and told him that. And then Marty did what he did best. He had a bunch of good scriptures. He was saved, and he was married to Emily Murphy up here, and that was Jack. But that was the first time I felt like I had heard the Holy Spirit. And he said he gave me a scripture that I didn't know by heart. And this is what I think Christ is talking about. He said, I will remind you of everything I've ever said. But in order to have that in you for him to remind you, you have to read it. You have to read it. Okay? In order for the Holy Spirit to remind you of everything that he's ever said, that is Jesus, you have to have read it at some point in your life so that it's in you. Amen? Amen. In order for the Holy Spirit to be your counselor, you need the Word of God in you so that he can bring it up out of your spirit and say, Brantley, do this. If I don't ever know the Scriptures, then he's not going to have anything much to work with. But he is our counselor. He reminds us of everything that he's ever said. What a great gift. What a great gift that you can be reminded at any given time. How many of you know that's important? If you're in the thick of it and you're in a bind, and you're freaking out, you need the Holy Spirit to encourage you. And that's what his job is. That's what he does. And nobody does it that way. Nobody does it that way. That's scripture of Jude 23, by the way. He gives you discernment. The Holy Spirit gives you discernment. Being the Spirit of truth, he helps you decipher the scriptures. Again, has anybody ever had that happen? Where you understood the scriptures better after you got the Holy Spirit. I'll just tell you, that was the first notice in my life that I had the Holy Spirit was Lee and I one time were reading the scriptures, and we were reading Romans 1. I'll never forget it. I've told the story before, but Lee and I were brand new saved, my wife Lee, and we were trying to read Romans 1, and I remember reading the whole first chapter. And I looked at Lee and I was like, did you understand any of that? And she was like, no, not a bit. And I did not, and I genuinely did not understand. I just, you know, Romans 1, 2, yeah, the wrath of God against mankind. It's heavy and there's a lot to it. And he's talking about the law and all this stuff. And I didn't get it. Fast forward a few weeks, I remember going in to see Brother Gary, our assistant pastor here for many years, who we all love. He's passed away now. But I went and sat back in that office with Brother Jerry, and I walked in and I said, Brother Jerry, I think I want to get filled with the Holy Spirit. And he said, I think you already are. And I was like, no, I don't think I am. I don't speak in tongues. And he's like, yes, you do. And he was like, no, I don't. I don't speak in tongues. I would tell you if I did, Jerry. You know. And he said, didn't you tell me when you were a kid, I grew up in a church where everybody spoke in tongues at Maranatha in Florida. But I hadn't, you know, I've walked away from God for a long time. Hadn't spoken tongues in forever. And just like True Jerry, he was like, tell me what we're going to do. I'll start speaking in tongues and get going. And it's just me and him in the office. And that is awkward. Let me just tell you.
It was totally awkward and uncomfortable. But Jerry had a way, didn't he? He was so kind and gentle. Jerry starts speaking in tongues. Walks over to me with my eyes closed and lays his hands on me. I start speaking in tongues. I still didn't know that I had the Holy Spirit, though. That was not the signifying thing to me. It wasn't even the most important thing to me. I want to tell you that, too. If you don't speak in tongues, that doesn't mean you don't have the Holy Spirit. Okay? You need to know that. That's, again, another big misconception. The Holy Spirit does so much more than just keeping you speaking in tongues. But what it does is it gives you discernment. And so, again, we had that moment, Lee and I, with reading the scriptures, not understanding. About, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 weeks after that moment, we picked up the same scriptures, and I read it, and I understood. I understood the scriptures. That's amazing. That's amazing. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. If you are bored with the Bible, which we all get from, but if you're bored with the Bible, I'm going to suggest the Holy Spirit is not opening your eyes to it. That's not me sitting in judgment. I'm trying to help you. I want to help you to see the scriptures and get excited again about the, about being able to understand it. You see all kinds of different things when you get filled with the Holy Spirit in the scriptures. You start seeing humor and you start seeing the magnificence of God. And it makes you want to read more and more and more of the scripture. So if you get up in the morning and you're like, oh, this thing's just wearing me out. Look, ask God for the Holy Spirit to help you to discern the scriptures and to understand it. Discernment is so important. It's so important, and you know, we need it. The church needs it. The world needs discernment. But we need it the most. I'm telling you, in the body of Christ, we need it the most. Because we have a lot of challenges. There's a lot of seven-headed dragons that are trying to come up and take from us and help us. I mean, let us not see the scriptures correctly. We need the Holy Spirit. We need discernment. I was thinking about Christ as he was baptized and the dove came down. The scriptures, it came in the form of a dove, the Holy Spirit, and it landed on him. And then, where did he go? Do you remember? With the desert. To be tempted by Satan. Who brought him to the desert? The Spirit. The Bible says the Spirit led him into the desert. Jesus didn't do a miracle before he was filled with the Holy Spirit. That's amazing. The same Spirit that we have, the opportunity to have in us, is the same one that helped Christ do everything that he did. He operated with the Holy Spirit and with all the miracles, all of his goodness and faithfulness and everything, all was born from the Holy Spirit. He was all man, and he said, I'm going to give you the same thing that gave me the power to do what I did. That's why he said, you're going to do even greater things than me. That's amazing. Again, it's just all too much. But my point being is he was led into the desert. And what happened? Satan came to him and tempted him, didn't he? And he tried to tell him all kinds of things. But what were they? They were all scriptures, weren't they? He used the scriptures in order to try to take Jesus Christ down, who was the living Word of God. And Christ refuted it by the Holy Spirit with discernment. Satan said, you've heard it said. And he was quoting a scripture. If you throw yourself from this mountain, the angel will come and attend you or whatever it was. And Christ said, no, but this is also what the scripture said. Do not test the Lord your God. He used a scripture to combat another scripture. That's called discernment that comes from the Holy Spirit. If we didn't have discernment, what we would think is that, well, David had 100 wives, I can have 100 wives. Do you understand? You'd say, Joshua murdered a lot of people. Well, these guys are making me mad. I mean, that's in the Bible. Why don't you do that? It's because you have discernment. That's the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit, and that's what gives you discernment. And you would go to jail probably. But discernment is the gift, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And you should desire it. You should long for it. It will be given to you if you ask. By the end of this series, I want to be able to pray for you guys to receive the Holy Spirit. Anybody that doesn't go into heaven. He gives discernment.
I think I'm going to stop there. I've got several more pages here, but we're going to stop there, I think, today. Thank you for listening to this. I really want to tell you that, like I said, I feel like God led me to preach this sermon to you, and I'm going to continue to preach about the Holy Spirit, maybe through Easter if we can. I think it is the most needed thing in all things God right now to me in our church and in the world in general. I think that we have a desperate need for the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to walk in the Holy Spirit, because we want to separate ourselves from the world in a way that we don't want. The world is looking for people that have it together, that people that aren't getting divorces and aren't falling apart. And the thing that's going to enable us to do that is going to be the Holy Spirit. And I just feel like God wants to do something special in our church, specifically with the Holy Spirit. So I hope that you can have faith for that and be excited that maybe we can kind of go on a journey together learning about who the Spirit is. And then we can receive it as the free gift of God. Let me just say this last thing. How good and kind is God to us? When the Scripture says that He's given us everything we need for life and godliness, it wasn't enough that He just died for our sin, and that Christ was resurrected and asked us to join Him. But then He says, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, now I give to you. I give it to you. What does that mean? What does that mean that the Spirit of God that raised Christ from the dead now lives in you? And when Christ says it's better for me to go so that you can have Him, that's amazing. Do you talk to the Holy Spirit? Do you pray to the Holy Spirit? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you angry with the Holy Spirit? Are you terrified of the Holy Spirit? Charles Simpson used to say, you don't want to get in an elevator and say Holy Spirit with a group of people. Freak them out. And it will, but it shouldn't. That's, to me, that's part of the maligning of the name. The Holy Spirit is gentle and kind, powerful, but gentle. You can grieve Him. We're going to learn. The Scripture says you don't grieve the Holy Spirit. So you have the ability to push Him down. He's here. He's here. He's going to be brilliant. Amen. Let me pray for you real quick and I'll dismiss you guys. Lord, we thank you so much for your wonderful gifts, Lord, that you give us. You were too kind. You gave your Son. You gave your Spirit. You said that your Spirit was the mind of God. And He lives within us. Father, I pray that you let us reach out and take hold of the things that you've given us, Lord. Let us not resist you in any way, Father, but let us be able to have and receive the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that you breathe on us like Christ breathed on the disciples and filled them up, Father. I pray that this congregation, Lord, everybody in this room will be filled with the Holy Spirit and walk in life with them, Lord God, in light, and that their lives will change because of it. And Father, the people that they're around, their lives will change too, Father. I pray that everyone in this room, that their spheres, Father, would begin to gravitate to them, and that these people would be filled with the Holy Spirit, and the kingdom of God would march on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much. Bless your people, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, guys.